9 in the morning. 9:16 Wednesday. Flirting with Disaster. That should be the new national anthem. There's a lot of new national anthems we've been pitching on here in the last 5 or 6 months. Big Wednesday podcast is going to come in a few hours. You're not going to want to miss that one. We go in depth with a real cop, a real street cop, who's seen some serious action, to say the least. Tells you what it's like when the shit hits the fan. And in his career, the shit hit the fan a number of times. And I think it's one of my better interviews. In his career, as he was flirting with disaster for decades, he was lucky enough to get out because he has seen some shit. Streets in Newark, New Jersey. Not Newark, Delaware. Everybody calm down. This is a cop in Joe Biden's neighborhood. I mean streets in Newark, Delaware. So tune in for that one. Might change your perspective a little bit on some of the nonsense that's being pitched by the talking heads in the media who wouldn't know the difference between a Glock and a clock. Yeah, it's interesting stuff. So we a lot of stuff to do in this podcast as usual. Thanks to Little Molly Hatchet to kick things off. I was in between the Molly Hatchet and the Clash, but I went with Molly Hatchet. We all remember Molly Hatchet, right? Wasn't she one of your grade school teachers? Mrs. Hatchet? Oh, I'm sorry. It's Sister Hatchet. If you went to Catholic school, Sister Hatchet. No, that wasn't her real name. That was just her nickname. Coming off the More Pain show on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. Subscriber only More Pain show. Just finished that up with Crowdsource the Truth. Discussed a lot of different things, as usual. A cornucopia of current events and timely issues. And the folks on our subscriber-only platform seem to enjoy that. That's good. They deserve it because they support us, and we appreciate their support. So, thank you to them, and we're not supported by millionaires or billionaires, so if you have a couple extra bucks and you want to help underwrite our organization and operation, we will put it to good use. We will stretch it out. We'll guarantee you that we are not supported by millionaires and billionaires, and we're not in federal court. Because of that, the downward dangerous slope of taking money from rich people to espouse and spew their talking points to make them richer while the poor get poorer. Not my style, folks, out here. This is old school journalism. Maybe it's not old school journalism. It's just the way I think it should be. When I was coming up through school, the way I thought it should be. But I should shut up because I got an email today from somebody telling me. I got to play some music because it's too good. It's too good. Maybe I'll go to some Clash. This is timely. What's My Name? A little Clash in the background. The lyrics, what the hell is wrong with me? What the hell is wrong with me? I'm not who I want to be. The guy's email said, can you please shut the hell up? Basically a paraphrase. Can you please shut the hell up? All you do is talk about yourself. It's nauseating. What am I supposed to talk about? I talk about the news. I talk about my experience. And I talk about the way I see things based on my experience. I'm sure you're used to listening to people's shows that they don't have any real experience, so they don't have to talk about themselves and what they've done and what they've seen and how that relates to things that are happening now. Most of these people haven't done anything. Well, some of them have, and they're fairly impressive, to be honest with you. And I think those are the types of people that help folks. So, no, I'm not going to shut up, and I'm not going to stop talking about my experiences. I'm one of the few guys out here with fucking experience. What do these other dopes have? Talking to a camera for 20 years is not real-world experience. Talking into a microphone for 20 years is not real-world experience. Unless you bring something else to the table. Unless you are of superior intellect and you help people think outside the box. That brings something to the table, so. So on my own show, I won't shut the hell up. What do you want me to play? Lady from Ipanema for 2 hours? An hour? People in their emails. I do appreciate many of them, but some of these guys are dangerous. I won't tell you about some of the other ones I get. I'm being stalked by a number of weirdos. I just ignore them. We send it off to our legal department. They tell us all about who these people are, their background, where they're at. Yeah, I take no threat lightly. You're going to want to check out that Big Wednesday podcast. I think that'll put a lot of people in their place, a lot of these snowflakes in their place. With everything that's going on now with cops getting shot and ambushed, I'm actually proud of the interview and of the relationship I've had with the police officer that did the interview and told it like it is. We don't get enough of that. We don't get enough of that. So check that out later. And thanks to the people on those platforms we talked about. Appreciated it. Let's move right into the news. As soon as I figure out my spot. Let's go. L.A. Sheriff's deputy praised as a hero for helping her partner survive an ambush. We were just talking about this.
I remember my first love affair. Somehow or another, the whole darn thing went wrong. And my mama had some great advice, so I thought I'd put it in the words of this song. I can still hear her say, "Boy, oh, I see you sitting out there all alone, crying your eyes out, 'cause the woman that you love is gone. Oh, there's gonna be a whole lot of trouble in your life. Oh, so listen to me, get up off of your knees, 'cause only the strong survive." That's what she said, only the strong survive, only the strong survive. Oh, you gotta be strong, you better hold on, don't go.
The female Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy who was ambushed and shot in the face on Saturday has emerged as a hero for helping her partner, who was also seriously wounded during the attack. The 31-year-old mother was one of two officers who were both shot in the face as an assailant approached the parked cruiser in Compton and opened fire on them. Both deputies remain in critical condition and are expected to survive the horrific attack. Yeah, these guys in and out of multiple surgeries. What a nightmare. On Tuesday, Britain's Daily Mail published the name of Claudia Apollinar, reporting she is the former librarian who had graduated the LA Police Academy only 1 week ago. That's not accurate. It's 1 year ago. I don't know what's going on in this story. Might as well be a week. A year in LA. You might as well be on for a week. Don't mess with these librarians. Next time they tell you to shut the hell up in the library, you better buckle down and listen. Don't play games. And pay those library fines. You don't want to mess with these kind of ladies. Apollinar is the mother of a 6-year-old child. She sustained bullet wounds to the jaw and arms, while the other officer, a 24-year-old male, also a Latino, was hit in a forehead, an arm, and a hand. On Saturday evening, the assailant approached the deputy's cruiser, which had stopped outside the MLK Junior Transit Center in Compton. The unknown gunman fired multiple rounds into the vehicle before fleeing the scene on foot. Aplanar stumbled out of the vehicle after being shot and then helped her partner by applying a tourniquet to his wound. She also put out a help call before administering first aid. Video has emerged that appears to show Aplanar moving her wounded partner to safety following the attack. The footage was posted to the official Twitter account of the LAPD Mission Station. She called for help. She was able to render aid to her partner. She remained calm and stayed vigilant. Most of all, she never gave up. She and her partner are heroes, the LAPD Mission Station tweeted. That's, talk about grace under pressure, man. That's some serious, serious stuff. So keep an eye on those folks. It is open season on Law and Order. Not that there is any law and order. Federally, we know that there is no law and order in D.C. with the FBI and DOJ. We know that's a lost cause. Corrupt to the bone. Down to the marrow. However, local and state's another issue. And we're seeing this play out in major cities and things that are going on. And it's dangerous. And we'll talk again on the Big Wednesday podcast. Giving you a front row seat to the mayhem. And maybe you'll think twice about being a Monday morning quarterback or an armchair quarterback about these situations because they, the texts are rolling in, by the way. It never ends. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sundays, I don't really respond to too many texts. I have to kind of decompress. Anyway, what do we got? Biden promises fewer fires, floods, and hurricanes if he wins. Oh, St. Biden's here. St. Joe. I thought St. Joseph was a carpenter, not a criminal. I guess I get my Bible stories mixed up. What do we have for this guy? I don't even know. The guy is... There's a video here. I'm going to play a video. I could read his texts and his quotes, but I'll just set it up and then I'll play his video so you can hear his, because I can't deliver Biden. He's got his own unique speech delivery. Delayed and strange. Did you see him today? We put a story out. He stepped off an airplane onto an empty tarmac, was waving to people, pointing to people. Hey, everybody, pointing. There was nobody there. Secret Service was there with their back turned toward him because they're, you know, surveying the situation. He's on an airplane tarmac. When's the last time you saw a crowd hanging out on a tarmac, hanging out on an airplane runway? 2001, maybe? Before 9/11? Who is he waving to? I have no idea. Maybe the guys up in the control tower, half a mile away. He's waving to the air traffic controllers half a mile away. This guy's on outer limits. Let's play some music. We'll set this up. On Monday, Democratic nominee Joe Biden condemned President Donald Trump as a climate arsonist, predicting that if the president wins re-election in November, America will witness more hellish events like fires in the West, flooding in the Midwest, and hurricanes on the East Coast. He effectively promised that if he wins, Biden wins, America will suffer from fewer fires, fewer floods, and fewer hurricanes. Especially in Joe Biden's head, where he lives in some kind of a strange Narnia, where he sees people that don't exist on runways. His invisible fans and imaginary fans. He sees rainbows and unicorns. He sees white and black people living together in harmony. Although Biden excoriated Trump for ignoring the facts and denying reality, he focused his remarks on the wildfires ravaging California, Oregon, and Washington State. Fires exacerbated by bad forest management more than any sort of climate change, and also exacerbated by arson. But let's not. I don't want to get... Let's go to some of his quotes. I just want to say real quick before we go to his comments. Look at the map of the forest fires in the United States. You'll notice that they stop. I saw a tweet from Maria Albanese last night, and I looked at the map of the forest fires. And she said, isn't it strange how the forest fires just stop at the border between America and Canada and the West? Doesn't fire cross borders? It just stops. I guess the fire didn't have a green card. It wasn't allowed into Canada. If you've been to that part of the country, you know that the forests and the woods, they're contiguous between America and Canada. But somehow the fires just know to stop. It's very courteous of the fire, I think. I guess Joe Biden knows about this since he's had some conversations with the fire, the floods and the hurricanes. Could you see Biden standing outside in a white tunic on his deck of his multi-million dollar house in Greenville, Delaware? With the air blowing, St. Joseph is on his deck. He's going to stop the wildfires, the hurricanes, and the floods. Let's go to some of his quotes and then go from there. Let's hear from Joe.
The Lord of hosts will do battle for us. Behold his mighty hand.
Hey, wait a second. That wasn't Joe Biden. I think that's what Joe Biden thinks he's going to be. But that's not Joe Biden. Let's go to the videotape.
Donald Trump's climate denial may not have caused these fires and record floods and record hurricanes. But if he gets a second term, these hellish events will continue to become more common, more devastating, and more deadly. Meanwhile, Donald Trump warns that integration is threatening our suburbs. It's ridiculous. But you know what is actually threatening our suburbs? Wildfires are burning the suburbs in the West. Floods are wiping out suburban neighborhoods in the Midwest. Hurricanes are imperiling suburban life along our coast. If we have four more years of Trump's climate denial, how many suburbs will be burned in wildfires? How many suburban neighborhoods will have been flooded out? How many suburbs will have been blown away in superstorms?
There you have it. Let's talk about some of the comments from the Young Bucks who prepped this stuff. Let's get a little fire song going first. From Van Halen, 1978. Grade school. We were all on fire. I'm starting to appreciate my grade school classmates more than ever. Thinking of all the hijinks we did. Sports and football practice, football road trips, football in the recess yard, mayhem, juvenile delinquency in general, being introduced to the local police on multiple occasions, etc. Our Young Bucks right after in this Biden story. Do these people really think that 4 to 8 more years of their guy in office would really turn around this so-called, quote, climate catastrophe that has taken 100-plus years to occur? Shock. I like these little notes these guys put on. I remember when this album came out, man, we didn't know what to do. We were like, who the hell are these guys, man? Who's the guy with the voice? Unbelievable. You know what's funny? Kids today will never know their freedom. Let me go back to that song. So I'm going to pontificate a little bit on it. Kids today will never know the freedom we had rolling around. In sixth, seventh grade, when this stuff came out, seventh grade, eighth grade, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, we were going out on weekends trying to score beer. Not just trying to score. Parents are like, yeah, don't worry about it. These guys will be all right. These guys are all playing ball. They're all tight with each other. Parties in Delco, Havertown, Darby, Broomall, Springfield, Upper Darby. It's just like we were in grade school. The point is the kids today will never have that freedom, never know that freedom. And now more freedom is being lost on a regular basis. The kids now are wearing masks in school. We were running a crime spree. A local cartel of alcohol, mischief, and mayhem. Kids today have to wear like a dry cleaning bag over their head just to go to school. It's insane. It's sad in a way. Now, maybe we had too much freedom, but it's sad. I feel bad for the kids. It's a definite loss. They don't have everything we had. It's sad because you want to give your kids more than you ever had. And the freedom, you can't do anything about it. I mean, we can bitch and moan about it all we want. But it's gone. It is literally gone. Okay, headline. Sad. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Exhaustive Pentagon review finds no evidence for New York Times' Russian bounty story. Oh, and in the... In the margins, it says, shock, more fake news. In the notes from the younger generation who also didn't have as many freedoms as we had growing up. But the new guys in grade school and high school, forget about it. They're screwed. They literally are screwed. What song do we have for this? How about Mother Russia from Iron Maiden? I say iron like I'm from Western PA. A Stiller fan. Iron City. I guess you could say Iron.
That's a song from Iron Maiden.
I say iron. A Western PA heritage coming through. Yin's going downtown. Drink some Iron Maiden. Iron City. There's been a huge efforts inside the government to validate the New York Times' bombshell that never really was, or wasn't at all, concerning its summer reporting that Russia secretly offered bounties to the Taliban to kill U.S. troops in Afghanistan. What a surprise. I think Dean Baquet, the editor of the New York Times, pulling another bullshit rabbit out of his hat. Out of his ass, I think, more than anything. 2 months ago, the Pentagon vowed to get to the bottom of it, launching a review of all intelligence and sources which might provide corroboration. And now, at the end of that investigation, General Frank McKenzie, commander of the U.S. Central Command overseeing the war in Afghanistan, says the detailed investigation found no corroboration of the story. Recall that from the start, the whole thing smelled like a dramatic and desperate last-ditch effort to revive the failed Russiagate narrative, but in a different form. Multiple intelligence agency heads voiced their immediate skepticism in the wake of the claims linked to unnamed intelligence sources in the CIA. Yeah. Okay, New York Times. You guys have CIA sources? Right. The guy at the Starbucks in Langley doesn't count. We know some guys that work down in Langley. Yeah, they're the fucking bank teller. General McKenzie told NBC News it's just not been proved to a level of certainty that satisfies me, adding that we continue to look for the evidence. I just haven't seen it yet. Because there is none, basically. The new NBC report published Monday states a U.S. military official familiar with the intelligence added that After a review of the intelligence around each attack against Americans going back several years, none have been tied to any Russian incentive payments. The story never made sense. Russians don't want to pay anybody for anything. It's pretty basic. You ever do business with a Russian? What? It's a pretty quick negotiation. They don't want to pay anybody. The suggestion of a Russian bounty program began, another source directly familiar with the matter said, with a raid by CIA parliamentary, wishful thinking, paramilitary officers that captured Taliban documents describing Russian payments. Yeah, the old secret Taliban document scheme. Isn't it the same scheme we had raided Iraq for? The same documents where there were weapons of mass destruction with that bird brain crew? The guys who pretended that they were conservatives, but they were really liberals? George Bush? Colin Powell? Condoleezza Rice? Rumsfeld? Dick Cheney? These idiots? Who pretended they were GOP, who gave us Chief Justice John Roberts, a conservative judge, bullshit. Bush, a conservative president, bullshit. Colin Powell, a conservative Secretary of State, bullshit. They did a good job of selling that, though, right? Them against us. It's all one party down there, folks. I've said that a number of different times. Mother Russia by Iron Maiden. Check that out for their holiday gathering. That's a big hit. Get the family around the Christmas tree. Put a little Iron Maiden on. Let the in-laws, after a couple eggnogs, let the in-laws know you fucking mean business. Gather around. We're going to play some music. Mother Russia. Holy, this guy's lost it. I always knew he was crazy, honey. Next story. Report campaign is keeping Biden in a sanitizer-saturated bubble. Aides are concerned about his health. In the margins, they wrote, hide in Biden. What's today? The middle of the month in January. I wish. The middle of the month in September. But back in January of this year, I think it might have been earlier, but I think it was January, I was tweeting and talking about folks we know inside that were prepping for Biden to run for this, said the guy's health was not good. So now it's 9 months later. Okay. And now this is news. This is why you got to listen to me more often. You get this stuff months years ahead of everybody else. I think it was probably last fall, but it's somewhere December, January, February, before all this crap started with COVID-19, because we were getting good information and they said the guy is completely well. I think we did a story. Let me check just for the hell of it. Let me go back and look at this. Here it is. Leak. This is December 19th, 2019. Coming up on a year, okay? 9 months. I'm sorry. 10 months, whatever it is. Leak. Biden vows to take the White House from George H. W. Bush. Bush died in 2018, by the way. Campaign insider said Joe Biden recently and confidently proclaimed he plans to win the White House and take it back for the Democrats from GOP President George H.W. Bush. There's one problem, actually two problems here. George Bush is not the incumbent president, and he died in 2018. He goes on from there, okay? Wow, man, I think I'll retweet this thing. So last year, okay, on the More Pain show that people get on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit, I dropped these nuggets of intel that just come across a lot of things. Some things are stories. Some things are more just things I pick up along my travels during the week on the phone and sometimes when I'm out beating the streets, okay? And he was losing it a year ago. So what do you think? He got better? No, he didn't get better. But now that's news. If somebody came out, one of the beautiful people, and wrote this same exact story today, it would go viral. We write stuff and it fizzles. A lot of times. It doesn't get shared by the beautiful people, but it gets shared. It's being read by you guys and it's getting shared by you guys. So we appreciate it. And if you continue to share it, we would appreciate it. That's the best way we can get around these overlords who control what you see, hear, and read. And we appreciate the folks that are helping us do an end run around those people. But hide in Biden. Let's get into that. What do we have for this? Don't Run and Hide by the Hollies. Anybody remember that song? Probably not. I think it's 1960. I don't know. 60-something. Biden probably remembers it. This is when Biden was... Folks, I'm just dropping in on a quick note here that I'm recording this after I recorded the show. The rest of the portion of this show, the audio is a little off because our main audio feed for the rest of the show cut out and we lost it. But I always take a backup audio feed in case that happens. It's never happened before, but just as a fail-safe. And it's not as the quality is not as good. It's good, but it's not as good. So the music might appear to be louder than the normal mix that we do. Because the main meat audio feed died on us. So there's nothing wrong with your phone and there's nothing wrong with your computer or wherever that you're listening to this at. If it sounds different, it's because it's our backup audio. The problem has been corrected and we apologize, but it's a good thing that we had the backup. So thank you for listening and we'll tune back into the rest of the show. Hey, you remember that song by the Hollies? Don't Run and Hide.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys.
I asked you about the Hollies. You don't remember them? Where's my button at?
You may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head.
Whoa. I just asked you if you remember the song, man. Just take it easy. A one-man show. There's no engineer. There's no producer. It's just me on the controls. So everybody calm down out there. Warm up your hate mail. Get your typewriters out, right? Get your manual typewriters out. Get your magazine letters and your Elmer's glue out. Write me more letters about how you hate to listen to the show, but you listen to it anyhow. Figure that out. All the stuff you could be doing with your time, you listen to the show and then you complain about it. It must be really bad out there for you guys. Give me a break. Let's go back now to the Hollies. Members of Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden's campaign staff are fearful of the former vice president contracting coronavirus and suffering potentially deadly consequences. According to a report in Politico, the 77-year-old candidate is being kept in a sanitizer-saturated bubble. Isn't that what Delaware is from the rest of the world? All my friends in Delaware down at Citigroup. Don't you guys live in a bubble already? We all worked in a bubble for years. His campaign events strictly limit the number of attendees and enforce social distancing. At a recent event in Kenosha, Wisconsin, they even used measuring tape to precisely seat attendees for his safety. Despite meticulous sanitation measures, a schedule lacking in public events, and disciplined mask wearing within the campaign, aides have privately acknowledged concerns about his health. Were he to get coronavirus? What about his health now? Of course they're concerned, they're just not saying that. Aides have also watched his every move, cautioning him to keep back whenever he violates a 6-foot boundary between himself and supporters. This guy, this is the guy we need in the White House. A guy walking around with a fucking tape measure. He can put one of those dog lampshades on his head. A reverse 6-foot on each side would be 12 foot. All around him. A 12-foot lampshade he can wear around his head. It would look like a fucking satellite dish. Don't run and hide, Biden. I remember the Hollies and Corn Pop used to listen to them. And you remember when we had the straight razors and you let them get rusty and you bang them on the rain barrel? This is what his stuff he's saying. It's like, yeah, oh yeah, we remember that, buddy. Back when we were fucking pumping up the Victrola to play for our families. Headline, NBC's Sunday Night Football ratings crashed nearly 30% for a woke opening weekend. In the margin, it says, go woke, go broke, no joke. How about some Buddy Guy, too broke to spend the night? I love Buddy Guy. And you will too if you start listening to this guy. No pun intended. The Sunday night football clash between the Rams and the Cowboys was supposed to halt the ratings crash the NFL has experienced so far in the new 2020 season. Spoiler alert, it most certainly did not halt the ratings crash. According to Deadline Hollywood, ratings for NBC's only weekly NFL game were down a shocking 28%. Putting on the two teams with big national followings, Sunday Night Football snared a 4.7 rating in early ratings among adults 18 to 49 and 14.8 million viewers last night. In numbers certain to change, that's a fall of 28% in the ratings and a hard decline of 23% in sets of eyeballs from what's the September 8th, 2019 last year. Official start of the season snagged on Sunday Night Football. To add some further context, the 33-3 pummeling of the Pittsburgh Steelers by then reigning Super Bowl champs, New England Patriots, last year, how dare them besmirch the Steelers, last year went on to pull in an audience of 22.2 million. Also at that point, last night's Sunday Night Football is down nearly 10% in the key demo from the early results of the Kansas City Chiefs' near blowout season opener win over Houston on September 10th this year. Every NFL game saw a protest of some sort during the anthem and or pregame ceremonies. The league's social justice movement is no doubt responsible for the plummeting numbers, which had largely leveled off and actually begun to show improvement last season. Am I the only guy that doesn't even give a shit? I can't be. Obviously. I just don't think I'm going back. I left the NHL playoffs after that nonsense where they suspended play for a couple days because of racism. You have like 6 African American players, like I don't even know, African American. You call it somebody who's from Canada? I think you call them Black Canadian. I didn't understand it. Where's the racism in hockey? Where's the injustice? We're a hockey family. If you're good enough to play, you play. Believe me. Small, tall, whatever. If you can play, you can play. You will play if you're good enough. There's no racism. It's stupid. So, they lost the NHL for me. I was watching some games. After that, I'm like, you know what? You want to go down that road? Can I find a sport where I'm not excoriated for being white? is there a sport out there? You know, for these NFL players and stuff. I grew up in the hood. How many of these guys grew up in the hood? I'm not saying it's a contest. I should be preaching to them. They've been privileged their whole fucking lives. Had their ass kissed since grade school and high school through college. I had athletes recruited in our family. I know how it works out. My immediate family. My extended family. I know how it works out. They get their ass kissed by scouts, and coaches, and fucking showcases, family advisors slash agents. You can't call them agents because it violates NCAA guidelines. So they're family advisors, right? They were fucking privileged. These guys were born with talent where they worked hard and skill set. I'm not saying it's undeserved. I'm saying don't preach to my poor ass coming up, not knowing where your next meal is going to come from. If there was going to be a next meal, if there was going to be heat in the apartment, okay? If you could fall asleep at 95 degrees inside because there was no air, don't come fucking preaching to me about privilege. Fuck you. Can I watch the sport? That'd be like me going out anywhere I go and start yelling at people. I grew up poor. I had problems. Okay, we all have problems. You persevere and you rise above it. That's what life is about. You don't have to take out a billboard about every fucking injustice in your life. Deal with it. Toughen up. Don't be such a fucking pussy your whole life. That's what these people are. They walk around like everybody owes them something. You've already been paid. You've been paid big time. You're living the dream. You're playing a children's game, be making millions of dollars, and you're preaching to my stupid poor ass out here. Still poor. Working my whole life, I got nothing to show for. Relatively speaking, compared to them, material-wise, okay? And I'm being preached to like I did something wrong. What did I do? Anybody else out there feel the same way? It's fucking ridiculous, and it's an insult. So why would I watch your dumb product? Makes me feel lousy for trying to be me, trying to live my life. Yeah, I was dealt a shitty deck of cards when I was young. Maybe some of them were too. So what? Deal with it. Rise above it. Right? And here's the other thing, right? Nobody fucking cares. We all have problems. Especially now, we have a lot of problems in the last several months that have been created by the government. Fuck you and your dumb game and your millions of dollars. Go fuck yourself. I'm tired of your bullshit. So why would I watch? Obviously, I'm not the only person. Football, baseball, hockey. Trying to preach to us. Tell us about privilege. Get the hell out of here. People have lost your mind. I don't care if it all goes down the tubes. Sports. I don't care. We have serious issues. Just like I don't care that much about the FBI, DOJ. We have real issues here we're battling. About the fabric of our country, the direction of our country, the future of our country, for that we're going to leave for our kids and our grandkids, etc., etc. And all of our ancestors that broke their ass to get us here. You think I give a fuck about these athletes? I don't care if it all goes away. I don't. We'll find something else to do. We're Americans. We'll find something else to spend our time and money on. It doesn't make us feel stupid or belittled or guilty for something we never did. So if it all goes away, that's fine with me, to be honest with you. And I'm a huge sports guy. I just don't care. I don't care. They lost me. And I never thought that would be something I would be talking about. Now, maybe I'll come back. I don't know. But I just don't feel it. For the reasons I just described. And I think maybe I put them in a situation or in a way that many might agree with. They might be thinking the same thing, but maybe not just, or maybe they're too afraid to say it. Oh my God, forget it. Forget if you're a white guy and you say something, you express your feelings. Oh, forget about that. Is that even allowed anymore? Forget about that. It's crazy. Well, how dare... I have gotten some emails. But how dare you say you grew up poor? You're doing well now. What? What do you want me to say? I grew up rich? I didn't. What do you want me to be? Everybody wants me to be somebody else. I'm fucking me. That's who I am. I swear. I've done things. I have a pedigree. I have a resume. What do you want me to be? I'm not your personal Ken doll, so go fuck off. I'm me. That's what I am on here. I'm myself. And that's what I'm going to continue to be. I'm not paid to be somebody else like all these other phonies and fakers. What you get is me on a daily basis. If you don't like it, do I have to tell you at this point what to do? Can you figure it out yourself? Aren't we belittled enough on a daily basis? I don't have to do it. I don't have to say it, right? Let's move on. Biden platform would raise taxes by $3.4 trillion. Oh, is that it? You think we have problems now? This is real problems. Forget about the fucking sports and these guys making millions. And hopefully those days are over, by the way. Those overpaid slobs telling us how to live our lives. Hopefully that comes to an end. They get a real reality check. But Biden's platform is going to raise taxes by $3.4 trillion, according to a study. Go to some Beatles. We never see this money. We never see the money coming from the government, right? We just end up paying more. They never give us their money. A new study finds a Democratic presidential candidate, Joe Biden's platform, would raise taxes by $3.4 trillion on Americans and corporations over the next decade. The Penn Wharton budget model, that's at University of Pennsylvania, nonpartisan group at UPenn, Wharton School, released a study on Monday. In addition to trillions more in taxes, Biden's platform would raise federal spending by about $5.4 trillion. Or roughly 24% of gross domestic product by 2020. Spending plan, which is more than double what Hillary Clinton proposed during the 2016 campaign. somebody tell Biden he doesn't need a separate spending plan for both voices in his head. If we could just get for the one voice, he doesn't need to double everything because he hears two voices. The plan would be funded by a slew of new taxes, including a corporate tax hike. Biden's trillion-dollar proposals signal that he'll continue to jack up the unprecedented level of government spending that began in mid-March as American life came to a grinding halt because of the COVID-19 scheme. Crisis. Biden has made no secret about hiking taxes, pledging to do so on day one of his presidency. That's a good campaign. Campaign platform. Vote for me. I'm going to screw you on day one. Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's get. Did he say that? Really? Is he going to do that? Thank you. I'll be raising your taxes. I'll be screwing you on. Bend over, everybody. His plan would increase the 21% tax rate to 28%, which would bring in more than $1.4 trillion. They're going to bleed you, folks. They're going to bleed small businesses. The big businesses don't pay taxes. You could have a 75% tax rate. Their accountants, they use all the loopholes. General Electric, for instance. Amazon, I don't think they pay any taxes, do they? A pittance. They'll crank you for 28% federally, another 10% locally. The 10% in your state, that's 50%. You're not even talking about all the other taxes. You're getting cranked for 60%. Big corporations, what do they do when they get taxed more? They pass it on to you. It's insane. He's going to bleed the little guys. The Democrat says he is targeting households earning more than $400,000. Yeah, right. They always say that. He plans to repeal tax code changes, the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which would raise the top income bracket to 39.6 from 37, bringing in close to $1 trillion. So he wants to tax you top level of about 40%. He also wants to increase investment and payroll taxes for those households, which would raise more than $990 billion. You're going to need to, this next song you're going to need when you're talking about Joe Biden's taxes. A little Elton John. I'm still standing. Will you be? I don't know. You'll still be standing because it's insane. It really is insane. I was pontificating a little bit, so let's move forward. We'll stick with this song. New headline, COVID financial pain, much, much worse than expected, warns a Harvard study. New findings from a survey by Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, published by NPR News on Wednesday, reveal how low-income minority households have experienced the most financial hardships in the virus-induced recession. Hence my selection of the song by the Beatles, You Never Give Me Your Money. Because when you live in these situations under the poverty line, you never see the money that comes from corporations and these things. Very rare. Sure, you get some financial assistance for food and things like that so you don't die. It's insane. Biden says he's going to target households who make more than $400,000. The ones who really get screwed are the ones that make no money. You take a piece from them, you raise taxes on them. It's more devastating than you can ever imagine. I lived it.
Stop telling us about your hardships.
Okay. But watch Sean Hannity. What does he make? $35, $40 million a year? Talking about another guy who is aggrieved somehow. You people will buy anything. I say that loosely. I don't necessarily deliver that right to the folks that listen to me, watch me, and support us, because we really do have fucking smart people. We do have smart people. Thank God. But the idiots who are watching Hannity, thinking he's down with the struggle, are you out of your fucking minds? Some simple sons of bitches. The pandemic heavily impacted Black and Latino households across America's four largest cities, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, and Houston, with massive job loss or reduction in hourly wages or decline in working hours. The survey conducted from July through August, just July through August, found Latino households, 77, and Black households, 81, in the greater Houston area incurred serious financial problems. In the margin, the Young Bucks write, but the media has these people focused on police violence and racial issues. Bread and circuses. These boys are getting smart. We're raising them right. The story continues, and so will the music here. Let's go back to the beginning, because this is a... No, I want to go to an alternate cut of this. As for the three other major cities, the survey showed 73% of Latinos in New York City experienced severe financial hardship, 71% of Latinos in Los Angeles, and 63% in Chicago. Serious financial hardships. This is just in a month. What do you think is going to happen in the winter? Black households in New York City, 62%. Black households in L.A., 52%, Chicago, 69%, also reported severe financial distress because of the downturns. You know what this doesn't cover, though? People, don't you understand that poor people also are spread throughout the land, not just the big cities. White folks under the poverty line, not necessarily living in low-income neighborhoods inside urban sectors. They're spread throughout the country, different places. Put them in this category too. Poor is poor no matter where you are. Poor.
Eldred, he's making some good points. Just shut up these idiots who always give him a hard time for his background.
Poor is poor. You can monitor the effects on black people, Hispanic people in urban areas, right? If you're under the poverty line, and there are more whites under the poverty line than any other race, where are they at? They're not necessarily in the major urban areas. They're spread all over the place. You don't think it applies to them? Of course it does. Nobody ever talks about the white folks, though. I'll tell you why. The media doesn't understand poverty. The media pictures poverty to people as along racial lines. They don't pitch it as poor people come from all walks of life, all different races, all different religions. And there's more poor white people in the country than anybody. But the way they pitch it, though, is that it only affects blacks and Hispanics. It's not true. And the reason they pitch that is because they make money off of that. They make money off of lying to you, deceiving you on a regular basis. So you start to think, oh, all black people are poor. All Hispanics are poor. They're the majority of the poor people. Not true. Absolutely untrue. The survey found a majority of low-income households had their savings wiped out, which is similar to our recent report detailing how tens of millions of Americans depleted emergency savings this year. Yeah, we talked about that. How about some Red Hot Chili Peppers, Millionaires Against Hunger? Nationally, white households are the ones that have incomes over $100,000 to escape much of the financial distress. See, that's not true. It's simply not true. Low-income whites. See, it's an uphill battle. Even in media that's quote-unquote on our side, right? They still don't get it. Again, the media. Oh, well, whites are exempt from this. Not true. Because they make more money. Yeah, but there's more poor white people than anybody else. So how are they exempt from it? You know what it is, too? Something I noticed in journalism. Business journalism is very tricky. Writing around numbers is deceiving, and it's pitched that way. Business journalism is tricky. To get the numbers right, you have to explain all these things. You can't just talk about how many white households have incomes over $100,000. How many white households have incomes under $15,000 with the poverty line, $16,000, $17,000? You have to put all this stuff together and frame it properly. The bottom line here is we're basically all screwed because of coronavirus. How you chop it up, that's what we should take away from this story. We're all screwed, said Ping. This is much, much, much worse than I would have predicted, top economist Robert Blandon, a poll co-director and executive director of the Harvard Opinion Research Program at the Harvard Chan School, said. This is what I would have expected without a national emergency relief bill. Right, don't forget, trillions of dollars we pumped into people. We had a $2 trillion relief bill to lift people up and put a pillow under them, but it's not helping nearly as many people as we expected. And that's where we're at. Millionaires Against Hunger. Running out of career opportunities out there, folks. Look at them, the music list here. How about some close out with some Train in Vain by Dwight Yoakam, Clash cover. And we appreciate all the folks on patreon.com/truepundit, subscribestar.com/truepundit. Watching the video podcast, The Pain in the Morning. Also, we're coming off the More Pain show for subscribers only. We also have rolled out the Pain After Dark show for subscribers only. We'll be doing more for subscribers only. We appreciate the folks that are supporting us directly on there. That's the best way to underwrite our efforts and our network, our growing network. We have big plans. Some very interesting interviews ahead coming your way too in the next several weeks and months. One of them comes just hours from now. The Big Wednesday podcast, where we go behind the scenes with a real street cop, tell you what it's like. How many real street cops have you seen on Fox, CNN, NBC, CBS? None. They won't tell you what it's like. We'll take you on a ride. You ever want to go on a ride along with the police? And you watch Cops? Right? How many times you watch Cops when you see somebody get shot? We'll take you on a ride along. You'll never forget. Big Wednesday podcast. I think it's episode 41. I'm just going by memory. You're going to want to listen to that. I think you'll want to listen to it. It's very enlightening. I learned things on it. Might learn a few things about me, too. I hope all the haters out there will listen to it as well. Maybe they'll learn something, too. Put your hate on a shelf. Open your mind. Think outside the box. Stop being a puppet, mainstream media, on the right and the left. Little Dwight Yoakam playing Train in Vain. So we'll see you in a couple hours. And we appreciate the support on this podcast and on the one to come. If you feel like sharing it, we could use any inroads, any efforts to get around the social media overlords. And I think you'll want to share the main podcast because of the interview. Thanks for your support again, and we'll be back relatively shortly, and then again tomorrow morning with Pain in the Morning. As I say at the end of every show, what do I say? Right. Take care and God bless.
We are very proud tonight to introduce a fantastic guitar player from Austin, Texas. So let's welcome with Chris Layton on drums. Chris Layton. Tommy Shannon on bass. Tommy Shannon. Stevie Ray Vaughan. Stevie Ray Vaughan.
lines are down. Yeah, it's flooding down in Texas. All of the telephone lines are down. Been trying to call my baby. Lord, I can't get a single sound. Well, dark clouds are rolling. Mine and I'm standing out in the rain. Man, I'm standing out in the rain. Well, blood, water, keep rolling. Man's about to drive, pull me inside. Thank you.
baby, hey. Lord, not coming back home to stay. Yeah, I'm leaving you, baby, hey. Back home to stay. Well, back home I know floods are turning. Pray when the sun shines every day.
Thank you very much.